and I can't exactly forget about what Eden and her friend had said about me. Something about me being hot. It's sure as fuck getting hot in here now. Because while I should leave, it's the last thing in the world I want to do. What I want to do is kiss her. I want to see if we still have that same magic chemistry we had all those years ago. The memory of her that night comes rushing back with such force and clarity, it almost knocks me over. The way she looked on my bed, how eager she seemed about everything. It ate at me, and it still does. An onslaught of memories of what happened that night hits me hard. Maybe because it's late and we're alone together now. Or maybe it's because Eden's bed can't be more than 24 steps away. Her gaze lowers to my mouth again, and I take a step back, putting some distance between us. I'd better go. My voice comes out rough, slightly uneven.
That's probably a good idea,
she says, sounding as shaky as I feel.
Thank you for taking me to the hospital and staying with me.
You're very welcome, I say softly.
Good night, Holt.
Good night, Eden. I let myself out and head to the elevator, releasing a long, slow sigh as my legs carry me down the hall. All week I told myself I was imagining things. Her asking if I was single was merely job-related. The way my body reacted to seeing her, just a product of the years between us. I kept trying to convince myself there are perfectly reasonable explanations for all of it. Now, though, the question of am I attracted to Eden is no longer one I can deny. In fact, that question mark has been replaced with an exclamation point. But am I man enough to go down that road again? Especially when there's so much riding on this? That remains to be seen.
Chapter 11. Eden. Just after lunch, my phone chimes with a text. I almost don't pick it up. I planned to spend the afternoon packing for our first away game in Detroit, considering my flight leaves in 3 short hours and I've done nothing but throw a pair of heels into my weekend bag so far. But things don't always go as planned, and the second text makes me grab for my phone with a sigh. It's Gretchen, and I remember now that she texted me last night, too. There's a couple of messages from her.
You okay?
Hello?
I'm coming over.
I quickly type out a reply.
I'm good. You're welcome to come over. I'm packing.
A short while later, I open my front door and am greeted by a relieved-looking Gretchen holding a beverage carrier containing 2 extra-large coffee cups.
Jesus, thank God your lips are back to normal size,
she sighs, pressing a hand to her heart in relief.
I was afraid I was going to have to get fillers just to make you appear normal.
Before I can call her out for being overdramatic, she hands over one of the coffee cups, the one with oat milk latte plus extra shot of espresso scribbled in black ink on the side. Despite the amount of grief she gives me for my caffeine habit, this woman always seems to have my back. Sorry, after we left the emergency room, I was pretty focused on catching up on the game. I sip my latte, letting the caffeine bring me back to life.
Come help me pack for my flight?
We head to my bedroom, where I set my coffee on the dresser to cool, turning my attention to which of my blazers screams girl boss the most. Meanwhile, Gretchen makes herself at home on my bed, drinking what I suspect is decaffeinated tea and surveying my mostly empty suitcase.
So, are you okay? Is your phone broken, or are you allergic to texting people back now, too?
I'm fine. My throat is still a bit sore, but it's nothing. I pinch a piece of lint off a navy blue cowl neck sweater, then fold it neatly and drop it into my suitcase. And I'm sorry for not texting you back. Between the hospital visit and then getting home late, my mind was occupied.
Yeah? With Holt?
I roll my eyes to keep her from reading me like a well-worn playbook. Gretchen knows me well enough to spot that flicker in my eyes that I get at just the mention of a guy I'm interested in. No, not with Holt. Just, you know, with getting an EpiPen stabbed into my thigh. She gives me a wry smile.
Right, while Holt was holding your hand.
Suddenly, packing seems like the least important thing in the world. My gaze returns to Gretchen in a panic. How did you know that? It's not on the hockey blogs, is it? My memory races back to the night before. Could one of the nurses be part of some whisper network of hockey fans ratting me out to the blogosphere for holding my security guard's hand? Can't a woman having an allergic reaction seek a little emotional support?
I didn't know that, Gretchen says slowly. And neither do the blogs. I was making a joke.
But now that you've said that, I'm extra glad I came over to gossip. She grins.
Relief courses through my veins, followed immediately by defeat. I'm not going to be able to avoid talking about this with her.
Gretchen reclines into my heap of throw pillows and blows on her tea. She tries a sip and grimaces to find it's still too hot.
Spill, girl. What happened last night?
Nothing, I say curtly. It's the truth. She frowns.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. Nothing happened. I mean, he walked me up to my apartment and there was definitely, you know, some chemistry. But neither of us acted on it. And why would we after I made such a colossal ass of myself?
Having an allergic reaction is not the same as making an ass of yourself.
Maybe, but hacking up half-chewed food into a napkin after implying that your security detail is hot? I think that sort of qualifies. I grab my latte again, popping the lid off to temporarily hide behind the billowing steam.
For the record, I'm the one who implied he was hot, Gretchen says, correcting me. Which he is, and it could have been worse. You could have thrown up on him. You've got to look on the bright side here.
There is no bright side. There's only one side to this whole situation, the deeply confusing side. Flustered, I sit on the edge of my bed, taking a big, well-deserved sip of my latte. It burns my tongue a little, but I hardly notice. It's nothing compared to how swollen and tingly it was last night, so there's that.
What's so confusing? You're doing great. Your team won last night. They're going to crush it again tonight. And you've got a sexy as fuck bodyguard who follows you around.
I let out a shaky sigh. It's just a lot to handle. The games, the gossip, the fact that this city still isn't on my side. Alex, toss in Holt on top of it, and I shudder, letting myself feel everything at once. I've never had that ride-or-die tribe of women in college that others seemed to have. Yes, I had Gretchen, but she and I weren't that close. She has a group of girlfriends that she's had since high school and often hung out with them. I tried not to let that bother me, but to be honest, sometimes it did. My social media feed made it seem that every other female out there had this pack of girlfriends who were there through every triumph and failure. But after my very public breakup and subsequent promotion, I barely got 2 or 3 phone calls from friends asking how I was doing. Of course, one was Gretchen, but I just never had that big group of friends. I guess that suits me. I'm more of a loner than I let on. But that doesn't mean I don't long for more close friendships. And don't even get me started on the mess of confusion that is Holt. He's always made me feel a lot of things. Attraction, fascination, anxiety. I throw up my hands, forgetting for a moment that I'm still holding my latte and almost spill it all over my white duvet. Frustrated, I leap to my feet. See, I'm a shit show.
Okay, let's break this down, one thing at a time.
Gretchen's expression has turned serious.
Alex, I thought we were past that.
We are, I say with certainty. Doesn't mean it's not hard seeing him all the freaking time. She gives me a pensive look as if trying to work out my feelings.
Okay.
The word leaves her lips slowly and with uncertainty. Gretchen clearly doesn't understand why this has been so hard for me. She knows I've moved on, and I really have. I don't want another shot with Alex. I've been there, done that, given him my whole heart, and it still didn't work out. She was right that I've moved on,
But someone who hasn't worked with their ex will never understand the struggle. It's really a top-notch experience. Well done. Blah, I feel like banging my head against the wall repeatedly. Thankfully, I don't. I do, however, grab a set of gray cotton pajamas and toss them inside my bag. And then there's Holt, she says cautiously, but with a flirtatious tilt to her mouth. They're so different in every way.
You can say that again.
There's nothing between me and Holt other than some lingering chemistry. Even as I say the words, I wonder if they're true.
If you say so.
Her tone is filled with doubt. To hear Gretchen question my motives when it comes to a man who I myself admittedly don't understand leaves me feeling vulnerable. It's jarring. There's been nothing between you two since you fled his bed that morning?
Not since that walk of shame.
She huffs. I told you I don't like that term. It's not a walk of shame. It's a stride of pride.
This pulls a chuckle out of me.
The conversation moves on, and when I glance over at her, instead of pity in Gretchen's eyes, she's suppressing a laugh. I plant my hands on my hips, tilting my chin at her. What? You know what you need.
A chill pill? I'm only half joking, but she shakes her head.
No, you need to bang Holt to get him out of your system. You robbed yourself of that all those years ago, and that feeling of loss has lingered.
Yeah, right. I scoff, waving off her comment.
No way is that going to happen. I'm totally serious. Her tone is insistent and less playful than it was before. I think it's the only way you're going to stop being so tightly wound about the whole thing.
As I finish the last of my packing, I weigh the idea carefully. The thought hasn't occurred to me before, but now that it's out there, it sticks in my brain more than I care to admit.
Would it really be possible for me to climb into Holt's bed again just to make my same escape before we got carried away? Maybe we do just need to finish what we started so many years ago. It's possible that's true, before I can truly turn the page on that chapter of my life.
Or maybe I'm delusional and the press would run wild with it. If the media thought I was sleeping my way through the team, security, staff, players, whoever, it could ruin everything. One blog post could bring me to my knees. And not in the fun, sexy way. No, it would be a total embarrassment. I'm stronger than that. Smarter. I have to be.
No, Gretchen, I shake my head. You know that's not possible. You saw all the news articles condemning me before I even started this job. People assume I'm going to melt down over my ex or fall onto some other player's stick. Holt might not be a Titan, but he's still employed by the team. I can't let them be right. I throw one last comfy sleep shirt into my bag, then zip it up. It's closed, just like this topic. Gretchen nods as she takes the tiniest sip of her tea.
So, what are you going to do?
My mouth lifts in a slight smile. My job, first and foremost. But more immediately, I'm going to go to the airport, fly to Detroit, and watch the Titans kick some ass.
Chapter 12. Holt. This is it. Our first trip for an away game. When I board the team's private jet, I have a surreal moment, wondering if this is actually my reality. As head of security, I've traveled with clients before, and I've flown on private jets more upscale than this one. Still, the fact that I'm traveling with a professional sports team, an experience that most fans would give their left nut for, isn't lost on me. Too bad I'm not a hockey fan in the slightest. Eden is in the second row, seated next to her assistant, Aspen, and they're deep in conversation. Les is in the row across from them. I step into the aisle and keep my eyes straight ahead toward the back of the plane. Clusters of players are spread out in the seats, some shuffling cards and others pretending to sleep. The goalie, a French-Canadian guy named Lucien, watches a movie on his tablet as I pass. I take an empty seat near the middle of the plane and pull out my phone to send a text to Eden. Are you doing okay? I wait for a couple of minutes, but she doesn't reply. Maybe her phone is already set to airplane mode, and since we're getting ready to take off, I do the same. As we find our cruising altitude, I can't help but overhear a few of the guys talking about a certain dating app and arranging hookups at the hotel. Alex Braun laughs along to the conversation and doesn't dispute that he'll be doing this too. If he does anything to humiliate or embarrass Eden, I will fucking end him. Hasn't he put her through enough? I can't even look at him with his easy smile and cocky playboy attitude.
You're Holt, right?
Someone asks from behind me. I turn in my seat and find one of the defensemen, Price St. James, known to his teammates as Saint, looking at me.
Yeah, that's me.
He nods.
Is everything going okay? With Eden, I mean?
I'm not sure what you mean.
I say, not sure if he heard about the shellfish incident last night.
She's not, like, getting...
He lowers his voice.
Death threats, is she?
So maybe he hasn't heard about her allergic reaction after all. He seems more interested in my presence and why she's now traveling with extra security.
I shake my head. No, nothing like that. Just some loudmouthed fans calling for her resignation. I'm here as a precaution.
Saint nods, stretching his long legs out in front of him.
They're wrong. She's going to be a great owner, I can tell.
You should tell her so.
You think?
His mouth lifts in an uncertain smile.
I nod. You know what they say? It's lonely at the top. She may appreciate hearing something positive once in a while.
Yeah, good point.
Saint rubs at the stubble on his jaw.
I'll do that.
I give him a polite smile, wondering if he's single and wants more from Eden than he's letting on.
Jeez, drop it, Rossi.
Not every guy on this team wants to fuck her. Probably not, anyway. I mean, Lucian's married, and there are rumors that Lindquist is gay. Man, I'm really losing it. I shove my earbuds into my ears and crank up my music, trying to tune out my own tumultuous thoughts. It doesn't work, and I spend the flight feeling agitated. 2 hours later, we've landed and deplaned in Detroit. It's colder than I expected, and the sky is gray. It's not exactly a warm welcome. I catch up to Eden on the tarmac as everyone waits to board the bus that will take us to the hotel. She's dressed in a sleek black coat and carrying a large leather purse.
How are you feeling?
I ask. She smiles at my concern.
I'm fine, thank you.
Did you have a good flight? She nods.
I did. I wanted to nap, but instead Aspen and I mapped out some work I want to do on an upcoming charity campaign this holiday season.
That's good. She nods. I can feel her assistant, Aspen, watching us. Something between Eden and me feels strained, and I have no idea why. Any plans tonight? I ask, taking my turn to board the bus. Eden sits down in the seat behind me.
Not really. I'm sure some of the guys will go out to dinner, but I'm kind of tired, honestly. I'll probably just stay in, maybe take a bath, order some room service, and turn in early.
When I meet her eyes, I can guess at what she isn't saying. She's nervous about the game, most likely. Or maybe about being alone with me again. But that can't be true, can it? I'm probably only imagining the chemistry between us.
Okay, well, if you need anything, I'm in the room next to yours, I say, giving her one last look before I face forward again. She doesn't say anything else.
At the hotel, I escort Eden to her room and then let myself into mine, which is right next door. I glance in her direction as she uses the key card to unlock her door.
Well, enjoy.
I try to sound nonchalant, but inside I'm as chalant as fuck. I don't know what's happening to me, but I feel so on edge I could burst. Since I'm not needed, but there's no way I can relax, I change into my gym clothes and decide to hit the hotel's workout facility, which is 2 floors down. I don't even feel like working out. My heart's not in it, but I need to clear my head. Need to blow off some steam. And it's either fuck something hard or run and lift weights. So I obviously do the latter. I crank up the pace on the treadmill while loud, angry music blares in my ears. I've been fighting with myself for days, ever since I came back into Eden's life. Fighting to remind myself of all the things that I can never have, Eden included. After 30 minutes on the treadmill, now breathless and sweaty, I move over to the free weights. The gym leaves a lot to be desired, especially after I've become so spoiled with the team's training facility. But still, it does the job. As I bang out set after set of bicep curls, my mind wanders. Of course, it wanders straight to a certain 5-foot-something powerhouse who totally blew me off earlier. I'm not sure why her brush-off should feel so significant. Maybe it's because I've been down this road before. Just as I finish up one last set of shoulder presses, my phone buzzes with a text. I pick it up and glance at it. It's Eden, and my heart jumps.
Can we talk?
Chapter 13. Eden. Nerves fill my stomach as I wait for Holt's reply. But I shouldn't have been worried because it comes less than 10 seconds later.
Sure.
It's only one word, but now I'm nervous for an entirely different reason. I type out in reply, "Come by my room." Aspen put me in a hotel room right next to Holt's in case I needed him for security reasons at a moment's notice. And a few minutes later, there's a knock. When I tug the door open, it certainly seems like I caught him in the middle of a moment. His hair is dripping wet, like my text might have interrupted his shower, and his not-quite-towel-dried body makes his fitted charcoal V-neck cling even tighter to his chest.
Everything okay?
He asks, his gray eyes clouded with concern. Yes, I'm fine. Sorry, I know it's late. I step back from the doorway, and he joins me inside. Have you eaten dinner yet?
Not yet. I just finished working out. Well, actually, I just finished a shower, but before that, I was squeezing in a workout.
As he talks, he works one hand through his damp hair, allowing me to catch the slightest whiff of mint and eucalyptus. Definitely the hotel body wash. It's a change from his usual woodsy, earthy scent, and I can't help but admire the way his biceps flex as he tries to air dry his hair with his hands. Focus, Eden. You didn't invite him over for dinner and a show. There are actual conversations to be had. We should order food, I say, tilting my chin toward the menu on my nightstand. I was too nervous to eat earlier, so I took a bubble bath to calm down instead. His stormy gaze momentarily dips from mine to assess the fluffy white hotel robe I'm still wearing.
Did it work?
Sadly, no. I'm still as on edge as ever. I tug the terry cloth belt a little tighter, staring down with embarrassment at the hotel slippers on my feet. Had I known he would be over in such a hurry, I would have gotten properly dressed. But when I look back up at Holt, he's not smirking at my appearance like I would expect. Instead, a shallow crease has formed across his forehead. He's studying me with a sort of intensity that might feel somewhat off-putting coming from anyone else, but there's something oddly comforting about having Holt look at me this way, like I'm a puzzle he's trying to solve.
So is that why you texted me then?
He finally asks, one brow quirking upward.
To help take the edge off?
His phrasing sends the slightest tingle of electricity radiating from my chest to my fingertips. I can think of one very effective way he could help me take the edge off, a method that I'm certain Gretchen would approve of. How did she phrase it again? I should get him out of my system or something like that? Whatever it was, it's not the reason I invited him over tonight. In fact, it's not even an option at all. Not tonight and not ever. I need to shake that possibility for good. I just need to talk through some things, I say, folding my arms over my chest. But let's order food first. I could use dinner and maybe a glass of wine. Yes, definitely wine, I decide in that moment. Although I seldom drink during the week, I'll make an exception tonight. With a quick nod, Holt sits on the edge of my bed and grabs the menu for the hotel restaurant, reading the options aloud. Burgers, salads, typical hotel fare. I settle on a club sandwich, and he calls our order in, tacking on a bison burger for himself and a bottle of rosé. Thank God for room service, I mutter. Despite my instinct to sit next to him on the bed, I opt for the plush cream-colored sofa across the room. I tuck one ankle behind the other, focusing on keeping my knees glued together. It's the only way to distract myself from those hypnotic gray eyes.
"So,"
he says, planting his elbows on his knees and leaning toward me. It's the same position Coach Wilder assumes when he's talking to the players in the locker room.
"What's got you so stressed?"
I fuss with the belt of my robe, avoiding eye contact. Is everything an acceptable answer? I'm just so worried about the team. Without even looking up, I can feel Holt's warm gaze on me as he waits patiently for me to say more. Well, here goes. Aspen gave me the full download on our flight here, I say, pressing to my feet and beginning to pace. The blogs are saying last night's win was a fluke, more of a sign that the opposing team needs work than anything else. They picked our offensive line apart, insisting that we're doomed, and Lord knows that I'll be the one to blame for a losing season.
It's not exclusively your responsibility,
he says, but I'm too wrapped up in my own downward spiral to acknowledge his comment. What if I can't handle this? What if I let my grandpa, my whole family, everyone down? What if I run the entire Titans franchise into the ground till it's worth nothing and I have to walk away with my tail between my legs? I slow to a stop, heaving a sigh as I will my anxious heart rate back to a normal speed. That was more than I planned on saying. When I've caught my breath, I turn back toward Holt, who is staring at the calluses on his palms, nodding slowly as he processes my word vomit. Frustrated, I huff out, "Say something." He meets my eyes, and there's something solemn about his expression. Finally, he speaks.
"I have an idea. Wait here."
Before I can say another word, he shoves up from the bed and stalks toward the door, flipping the latch before he leaves to keep it from locking behind him. And just as quickly as he arrived, he's gone. My heart squeezes. What happened? Did my oversharing scare him off? Before I can assemble a complete catalog of worst-case scenarios, he reappears in my doorway, gripping a well-read paperback book. What's that?
My therapist gave it to me,
he says, turning it over in his hands.
Seabiscuit. She thought it might help me if I read it.
Did you? He shrugs.
I got through some of it.
And did it help?
I don't know. It's about these three guys who team up to make this horse, Seabiscuit, that was an underdog, a horse no one thought could win, into a champion.
I'm familiar with the gist of it, I say, recalling seeing the movie many years ago. But why did your therapist recommend it? I'm also curious about why he sees a therapist, but that conversation feels a bit too heavy for a moment like this. He's already exposing a part of himself in offering me the book. Just knowing he's trying to help? Well, it makes me sympathetic. Holt blows out a sigh, rubbing his palm along the stubble on his jaw. It makes a soft, scratching sound that I know I'll be thinking about for the rest of the night.
She said I had to let more people in, not be so self-reliant. You know, like the guys in the book. It takes all three of them to get the job done.
He stares down at the cover, flipping through the pages for a long moment before finally meeting my gaze. So did you? I ask. Let more people in, that is. The smallest smirk forms on his lips.
Not really, no.
I can't help but laugh. At least you're honest. When he passes the book to me, I run my thumb along the well-worn spine, inspecting the back cover. So, what are you saying?
I guess I'm saying that you don't have to do everything yourself. It's up to the entire organization. The coaching staff, the players, it's up to the marketing department, up to the fans to show up. You have to rely on them. If you fail, you fail together.
A nervous chuckle escapes me. How comforting.
The point is, the only thing you can control is your own actions.
He says, his voice gentle.
Control what you can and let go of what you can't. Trust your team to do their part.
It's quiet between us, a comfortable silence in which we do nothing but stare into each other's eyes. His are so expressive, clouding and clearing as his mood shifts. Right now, they're a soft gray, the color of an old comfy sweatshirt I used to have back in my Sutton days. Everything about Holt is like a perfectly preserved memory that I'm desperate to slip back into, just like that sweatshirt. Even though my brain is constantly screaming at me to be professional, my body has other ideas. He's just so handsome and protective of me. That combination is dangerous and really does something to a girl.
I was worried about you, you know,
he says, his voice barely above a whisper.
After the emergency room visit.
I slouch back into my seat, folding my arms over my chest. I was fine.
I texted you,
he says.
On the plane. You never responded.
I know, I whisper to the floor. I'm sorry. More silence, and this time it's not so comfortable. It's heavy with all the unspoken words that are begging to be said, the ones we're both avoiding. But if ever there was a time to be vulnerable with him, it has to be now. I move from the couch to the spot next to him on the bed, close enough to breathe in the scent of mint and eucalyptus and man. Can I admit something to you? Something not work-related?
Anything, Eden.
I swallow hard, hoping he really means that, because I think part of why I'm so twisted up inside is because of this man right here. I haven't really been able to stop thinking about that night we shared. I admit on a whisper, steadying my gaze on the hotel logo on my slippers. I pause, turning back to assess his reaction, but he's silent, his soft eyes attentive. I'm hoping he'll say something in return, but when he doesn't, I resort to rambling, desperate to fill the quiet. I know it's crazy, and it was so long ago when we were practically teenagers back in those days, but I just can't. Holt doesn't give me the chance to finish that thought. Instead, with a shift of his weight on the bed, he closes the short distance between us, breaking every invisible boundary with one press of his full lips against mine. One kiss. That's all it takes for me to throw every doubt, every rule I've set for myself out the window. In this moment, I curse my 21-year-old self for ever leaving this man's bed, because the way he kisses me, gently, deeply, sweeter than I've ever been kissed before, is something I never want to run away from. He sucks gently at my lower lip, running his tongue along it and sending a rush of endorphins surging through my system, the kind that make me act against my better judgment. Suddenly, my hands are gripping his shoulders, pulling him in until we're toppling back, his body moving over mine in a slow, greedy grind.
We shouldn't be doing this,
he murmurs against my throat. By the way, he trails wet, open-mouthed kisses down to my collarbone, though. He's showing no signs of slowing down. Do you want to stop? I ask breathlessly.
Fuck no.
I can feel his smile against my skin as he nips gently at my jawline, spurring a gasp to fall from my lips. He chuckles and a flutter beats in my chest at the sound. God, that laugh. It could bring a woman to her knees. It has before, in fact, and it might again. Maybe just this once, I say, my voice small but hopeful. We've done this before, sort of. What's once more? But instead of his low, rich voice in reply, a different voice answers. A soft, feminine voice from outside the door. Room service? My stomach leaps into my throat as I shoot up in bed, pushing Holt as far away from me as possible. Holy awkward.
Don't worry, I've got it.
He reassures me, rearranging himself in his joggers before heading for the door. A young, dark-haired woman dressed in black smiles as she wheels in a silver cart, oblivious to the situation she just interrupted. Meanwhile, I'm trying to make myself as small as possible on the bed, hoping my robe will let me blend in with the white duvet. Once our food is set up, Holt slips the girl a few bills from his wallet, thanking her before locking the door behind her.
So, he
shoves his hands into his pockets, smiling at me shyly.
I guess we should eat.
After a long pause, I burst out laughing and Holt grins, and all the tension in the room dissipates. Even the most awkward moments are made a little bit better by his presence. With the awkwardness out of the way, we relocate to the small table in the corner, setting up our meal and digging in. Between bites, we talk about music, and he sends me the playlist he had on in the car the other day, making me promise to listen to it before the game tomorrow.
It'll hype you up,
he says, muscling the cork out of our bottle of rosé.
I promise.
Once our glasses are filled, I lift mine in the air, arching a brow in his direction. What should we toast to?
To letting people in,
he says with a smile, and before I can agree, he clinks his glass against mine, making it official. The wine goes down smooth and easy. A little too easy, maybe, because after a lively debate about which 90s bands are the best, we've both finished our glasses. Holt listens to me talk about the team, to my ramblings about save percentages, goals, and assists, then listens when I complain about the sports commentator who seems to have it in for me. And he grins when I help myself to a little more wine and say fuck it to all of that. This is the most laid back I've seen him since, well, ever, and his calming energy has had quite the effect on me. The wine probably helps, but I shouldn't have any more. One last sip, and I set my glass aside.
Are you done?
He asks. I nod, eyeing the wine glass. I think so.
Finish it.
We have a big day tomorrow, remember? I shake my head. And you're way bigger than me. Your tolerance is higher. You finish it. He lifts the glass and eyeballs what's left in it, swirling the light pink liquid around.
If I do, can I kiss you again?
My heart squeezes. Doesn't he already know the answer? You can kiss me again either way. With a grin, he takes a sip from my glass and then offers it to me. I take one last swallow and he sets the glass aside. Moments later, he's guiding me up from my chair, his big hands lifting me by the hips into the air. I squeal and we land on the sofa where just an hour ago I sat to keep my distance from him. Now, distance is the last thing on my mind. His lips find mine again, more desperate and eager than before, his tongue moving over mine in hot, hungry strokes. I grip his shoulders, moaning into his mouth as his hands venture down the front of my robe in search of my belt.
Can I?
He asks, his voice raspy with need. I nod and he tugs the knot loose, unwrapping me slowly, like a fine piece of chocolate he wants to savor. It's been too long since I've been naked with someone, much longer since that someone has looked at me this way, his wild eyes drinking in every inch of my skin. I'm not wearing any makeup, and my hair is damp on the ends from the tub, but it doesn't matter. The way Holt looks at me, this is the sexiest I've ever felt. When he sinks to his knees, my breath catches as his palms run gently up my thighs. Good God in heaven, this is really happening. A hot, ragged breath pours from his lips, warming my core and commanding every nerve ending in my body to stand alert. When I finally dare to look down at him, he's looking up at me, eager to solve the puzzle in my eyes again. Only this time, there's nothing to solve. I want him. I need him. And if he doesn't touch me right this second, I'm going to shatter into 1,000 tiny pieces.
We can stop if you want.
He whispers, pressing a kiss into my inner thigh, the scruff of his jaw scratching gently against my sensitive skin. But he's wrong. You can't stop a storm once the clouds start gathering. You can't stop a wave from breaking once it's crashing toward the shore. And I can't, I refuse to, keep us apart tonight. Not when he's so painfully close to the neediest part of me. Not when I want him this much. Like hell we can. Panting, I grip the back of his head and guide him right to where I want him. His warm lips find my clit, and I release the strangled moan I've barely been holding back. Holy fuck. My head falls back against the couch as his expert mouth works me over, sucking and licking in ways that make my whole body quiver. My hands grapple for a solid grip on the couch cushions, but eventually land on his shoulders. Cuddled, I say on a ragged breath. I'm so close. No sooner have the words left my lips than my orgasm rips through me in hot, pulsating waves. It takes me a long while to come down from my high, almost a full minute before I can manage a single word. Shit. He snickers softly, joining me back on the couch and running his big hand along my thigh. I instantly spot the stiffness in his joggers, which he doesn't bother trying to hide. Looping a thumb into his waistband, I press a kiss to his lips. Mind if I return the favor?
Only if you want,
he says, tipping my chin up so his gentle eyes can meet mine, and I can see just how much he means every word.
We don't have to do anything more than you're comfortable with, just like last time.
And just like last time, I want you. I sweep a finger beneath his waistband, and a low hum of pleasure escapes my lips at the knowledge he skipped the boxers tonight.
Didn't have time to put underwear on when you texted me,
he says sheepishly. Just less to take off, I purr. So can I?
Fuck yeah.
I help him out of his joggers, centering myself on the floor between his big, parted thighs. He grips his base, giving himself a few precursory strokes, and good God, Holt has gotten bigger over the years in more ways than one. Slowly, I replace his hand with mine, moving it just the way he taught me so many years ago. A tight grip on his base, a slow drag of my hand up his shaft and over the tip. My memory doesn't fail me, and neither does my form, based on the way Holt groans my name.
Jesus, Eden,
he chokes out.
That's so fucking good.
When I bring my mouth to his wide shaft, words fail him, and my only warning that he's close is a series of short, needy grunts. Over and over, I guide my lips to meet my hand, feeling him grow tenser and tighter until he lets out one exasperated moan, finishing in wet, hot spurts in the back of my throat.
Fuck,
he stutters, pushing one hand through his hair as he blinks up at the ceiling. His broad chest rises and falls quickly at first, then slower with time as he regains composure. When he finally smiles down at me, there's a stormy glint in his night sky eyes.
Get up here, you.
I scramble up onto the couch next to him, and he tugs his pants back up while I tie my robe again, then nestle into the crook of his shoulder. Just for a moment. Long enough to remember how well we fit together, how perfect and familiar this is. And then I force myself to say the words I so desperately don't want to say. You should probably go back to your room. He dips his chin in a nod, giving my arm a quick squeeze.
Sure. We don't need anyone seeing me come out of here this late or anything.
Exactly. I say, but there's a sadness in my voice that can't be denied. Still, I walk him to the door, pressing onto my tiptoes to place one last kiss on his jaw before he goes. Thanks for the book, I whisper.
You're welcome,
he murmurs.
Chapter 14. Holt. When the team loses their game in Detroit, the only person I feel for is Eden.
I couldn't give two shits about the grumpy cluster of hockey players sitting glumly in the visiting team's dressing room inside the Detroit arena.
I wonder how she's doing. but she's currently meeting behind closed doors with Les, which is why I'm biding my time with the guys, when all I want to do is check on Eden. She knows as well as I do the best way to get revenge on her vocal critics is success, which means winning games. She was so worried last night, but what I told her is the truth. It's the players' jobs to score goals and win games. Eden's job is to run the franchise and handle the finances, something she's uniquely prepared to do, given her education and training. I'm hoping it's only a minor setback in what will end up being a very successful season for her. Although I can't help but wonder if what's been happening between us distracted her from her role in some way. But that couldn't be it, could it? Things last night spiraled out of control, in all the best ways, but we haven't had any time together today, so I can only imagine what she might be thinking. Does she regret it? I feel a lot of things about last night, but regret isn't one of them. That Sharp fucker needs to go down, one of the players grumbles. Patrice Sharp is one of the most celebrated members of Detroit's starting line. He scored twice tonight, ruining the Titans' chances for a comeback since they couldn't seem to get the puck to the net at all in the third period. It was a joke. They looked like shit. But like I said, the last thing I feel is sympathetic. Most of them are overpaid divas as far as I'm concerned. Saint stands and tosses a damp towel in a large basket in the center of the room.
It's in the past. We've got to put it out of our heads. Got another chance tomorrow.
He isn't the captain, but as I look up and glance around the room, I can see that though he's young, he's respected by the team. A few more thoughts are shared on their loss, but I have little interest. I watch the door on the side of the room, waiting for it to open, but it doesn't. Most of the guys have filtered out of the room. Alex Braun remains, and so do Saint and the heavily bearded Reeves. I try to focus on something on my phone, but I'm on edge and irritated.
We can't afford to be distracted like that again, Saint says with a cocky smirk.
You fuckers were entertaining those puck bunnies well past midnight, Reeves grumbles. Don't think I didn't notice that.
Saint raises both hands.
That was Braun's idea.
My stomach sours. Eden is in that room, feeling like shit, probably crying her eyes out to Les, all because Alex fucking Braun decided he needed to get laid last night and couldn't do his damn job on the ice. Alex saunters past us, headed for the exit, freshly showered and dressed in a wrinkle-free navy blue suit. Without thinking, I rise quickly and intercept him in the hallway, letting the heavy door thud closed behind us.
What the...
Alex sputters as I press into his personal space. I curse under my breath and shove one of his shoulders against the cinder block wall.
I just overheard something about you and the guys who were entertaining last night.
He glares at me.
So?
So when you fuck up the game because of your extracurriculars, it catches people's attention.
How exactly is that any of your business?
Alex gives me a shove, and I take a step back.
Because you need to keep things discreet, and if you ever cared about Eden, you need to stop this. Word is going to get out, and you're going to ruin any chance you had at a friendship with her.
He scoffs at this.
I doubt we're on track to be besties anyway. Pretty sure she hates me.
My fists clench at my sides, and I'm sure there's a vein throbbing in my neck.
You're going to publicly humiliate her. Be more discreet, or you'll have me to deal with.
What are you, her babysitter now?
No, just a friend.
He smirks, giving me a self-satisfied look. Right, a friend who's on the payroll. Got it. Just don't forget that, Rossi. He takes a menacing step closer. Don't forget that the only reason why she wants you around is because you're an employee here. You're not her friend.
His personality and mine just don't mix. We'll never see eye to eye, and that's fine with me. But if he still thinks of Eden as a toy he doesn't want anyone else to play with, we're going to have a big fucking problem. She's capable of deciding who she wants to share her time and her body with, and even if that guy isn't me, the choice is still hers. Alex holds no claim over her anymore. I wonder then if he knows about Eden's history with me, if he suspects there's something going on between us now. But it doesn't matter. He needs to keep his nose clean and do what this league is paying him to do, which is to play hockey, not hook up with puck bunnies. Fuck you, Braun. Just keep your dick in your pants and don't upset Eden, or you're going to be fucking with me. He scoffs again.
Whatever, dude. I'll fuck with whoever I want.
I slam my palm into the wall just as Eden comes through the door and enters the hallway beside us.
Holt? Alex? What the hell is going on?
Confusion crinkles her brow. Nothing. I lie. Alex shoulders his way past us, grumbling something I can't catch under his breath. We watch him stalk away until he's out of sight, and then it's just me and her. The air is still charged around us. Eden straightens her posture, squaring her shoulders.
Don't lie to me. What's going on? Did Alex say something to you?
I release a slow exhale as I consider my options. I won't lie to Eden, but I don't exactly want to tell her the truth either, because even if they're broken up, on some level, his sleeping around might hurt her, and that's the last thing I want. I won't lie to you, so if you really need to know, I will tell you, but please just trust me. She gives me a pleading look. I'll tell you if and when there's something you need to know, okay? I can see the moment she gives in. Her shoulders relax.
Okay, but only because I sense you're trying to protect me from something ugly, and my life could use less stress right now, not more.
My instincts were right. Somehow they always seem to be with this woman. I reach out for her and place one hand on her shoulder. She leans into my touch, letting me rub her neck and shoulder briefly. In that moment, I realize I'd do anything to ease her burden, anything to make her feel good and whole again. She meets my eyes again.
I still want to know what Alex said to you.
I give her a pleased smile. She never gives up, never backs down. It's just not in her nature. I know you do. But remember, lions don't concern themselves with the opinions of sheep, and you are a lion, got it? A shy smile tugs at her mouth, and my heart leaps. Who is this girl? She makes me feel so many messy, confusing emotions, most of them all at once. It's disorienting.
Got it,
she says with a smile. Are you ready to get out of here? I tip my chin toward the stairwell. She nods.
Yes, and ready to be back home. The hotel bed didn't agree with me last night.
You can come by my room tonight if you want. My bed was comfortable. She smirks, glancing at me as we head up the stairs together.
Oh, really? You sure you wouldn't mind?
I smile, but I don't dare touch her right now because someone could see us. I wouldn't mind at all. Eden plays coy, pursing her lips.
I don't know. I might just stay in tonight and read. I started this really good book someone gave me the other night.
I chuckle and shake my head. When we reach the top of the stairs, her assistant appears with some questions, furiously typing something into a tablet. Eden gives me a look that says she's sorry to be done with our playful conversation, but I can sense that she needs to focus on work now, so I say goodbye. I'll see you later, I say.
I might be able to work you in,
she says, and then she winks. My heart takes off at a gallop.
Chapter 15. Eden. As I hide in my hotel room like a coward, I can't help replaying Holt's offer from earlier over and over in my head. The way his deep voice rumbled over the words, those words being an invitation to share his bed. I heave a sigh, falling back onto my bed and staring blankly at Holt's contact on my phone. Thus far, the texting box has remained empty. I guess I'm hoping the right words will magically fall off my thumbs. What do you say to someone when you're looking for a booty call, but you don't want your booty call to know he's a booty call? And now I've officially thought the words booty call so many times they don't even sound like a real phrase. And is that really what Holt is? I think part of me knows he's much more than that. With a huff, I drop my phone onto my pillow and redirect all this cagey energy toward the view out my window, like the solution to my problem might be hidden somewhere in the night sky. Why am I letting myself get so worked up?
For all I know, Holt might have been joking when he made that comment. After all, last night when we crossed that boundary, I was the one who said it was a one-time thing. Not that it stopped my memory from replaying every moment of it. As it turns out, Gretchen was very wrong about me getting Holt out of my system. If anything, one taste of him has only left me craving more. Every time his stormy eyes met mine today, I remembered that wicked look that danced through them moments before he proceeded to give me the best orgasm of my life. I want to explore this thing with him, but I have no idea how to proceed with caution, especially for someone in my role with this organization. It's a virtual human resources nightmare, if I'm being honest. Nothing about this situation is smart on my part. But as I learned once long ago, sometimes good girls need to be bad. My phone buzzes, interrupting my stargazing, and I ready myself for an email from Aspen or a notification from ESPN about the game. Instead, what I find makes my eyebrows shoot up while simultaneously sparking a warm, jittery feeling in my chest. I swipe my thumb over the notification, opening the text.
Congrats on the win, by the way. Don't know if I said that before.
A smile tugs at my lips as my thumbs fly across the keyboard, firing off a reply. Thanks, smiley face. What are you still doing up? Our flight leaves early tomorrow. Normally, protocol would dictate that one should wait a little while before responding to a text from a guy, but something about Holt has me feeling a bit more eager than usual. Much to my surprise, he responds not with another text, but with a phone call. Jesus. Here I was, scrutinizing every word of a potential message to him. Meanwhile, he has the guts to just call out of the blue? That's the kind of confidence I need to tap into. After a brief, centering breath, I answer. Hello? Holt's low, rough voice washes over me.
Hey, you finally done working for the night?
My teeth sink into my lower lip. Yes, I'm done. Were you checking up on me? I ask quietly. His laugh is a low chuckle on the other end of the line.
Something like that.
I drop onto the corner of the bed, and just like every time I'm with him, all the tension I've been hanging on to slips away. Thanks for checking on me.
Well, as much as I'd like to accept the accolades, this call is less professional and more personal in nature.
He says, somewhat shyly. Oh? I ask, biting my lower lip.
I was serious about what I said earlier. No pressure, but I'd really like to see you again.
I pick absently at a hangnail, weighing the angel on one of my shoulders against the devil on the other. I was so hung up on how to phrase a text to Holt asking if I could see him tonight that I didn't even consider the details of that possibility. If one of the players spotted me leaving our head of security's room in the morning, every bit of the respect I've managed to build over the past month would be as good as gone. Then again, we pulled this off back in Detroit. Sure, our rooms were right next to each other then, but we might be able to duplicate a similar arrangement. I swing by for a bit, then leave quietly before it's late enough for anyone to get suspicious.
Eden, are you there?
Mm-hmm, I murmur, drumming my fingers against